This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's shiur. This is the last shiur before Pesach. Tonight, a week. Don't scare everyone. Tonight, a week is already Seder night. And what I'm going to do tonight is, rather than have the two shiurim as regular, just to have one shiur, thoughts for Shabbos HaGadol, and also some ideas about Seder, Pesach, etc. So, one idea about Shabbos HaGadol. The Haftarah from this week's Parashat Shabbos HaGadol has a pasuk which the Gemara expounds on. The pasuk says, the pasuk in Malachi, "V'shavtem uri'isem ben tzadik l'rasha, ben oved elekim l'asher lo avdei." So the pasuk says, the Navi says, "V'shavtem, you should do teshuva, you should return uri'isem, and we will see, you will see, ben tzadik l'rasha, between a righteous person and a wicked person, ben oved elekim l'asher lo avdei, between someone who serves Hashem and someone who doesn't serve Hashem." So the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Tes Amud Beis notes a certain redundancy, a repetition in the pasuk. The way the Gemara phrases it, if you look at the second box, the first piece, if you're listening online, email me please at j.golko@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. The pasuk says, "Hainu tzadik, hainu eved elokim, hainu rasha, hainu asher lo yavdei." When the pasuk says, "V'shavtem u'risem," you will see the difference between tzadik l'rasha. Then isn't that the same as Ben Oved Elokim Asher Lo Yavdei? Why repeat the same concept? As the Gemara says, Hainu Tzadik, Hainu Oved Elokim. A Tzadik is someone who serves Hashem. Hainu Rosh, Hainu Asher Lo Yavdei. That Rosh is someone who doesn't serve Hashem. So why the repetition? So Amalei, the Gemara says, this is a conversation in the Gemara. He replied, Avdei V'Lo Yavdei Travaya Tzadiki Gemorinu. No, you misunderstood the pasuk. The first stage is Ben Tzadik L'Rasha. The next stage, Oved Elokim Asher Lo Yavdei, are both tzaddikim. So who is the tzaddik who serves Hashem who doesn't serve Hashem? Says the Gemara, Ve'in Adoy Meshoyna Pirkum Me'er Pa'amim Leshoyna Pirkum Me'er Ve'echa. You can't compare someone who reviews, who chazes his learning 100 times, and someone who learns something 101 times. Now, it seems a little bit strange. You know, halavai, we should get anywhere close to reviewing, doing chazar 100 times. What's the difference between someone who learns something 100 times and 101 times? Rashi just says, you see, that even small measures when it comes to ruchnius are very significant. At the end of the day, if someone just works a bit harder, pushes himself a bit more, then that is considered of the yoseh, even if it's 101 as opposed to 100. The Mashal says something fascinating. Nokat b'milse misbazer, Lefi remez oved elokim asher hu rosha teves gematria kuf aleph. V'loy avdu rosha teves gematria kuf. In other words, the pasuk which says someone who learns something 101 times, that's oved elokim la asher loy avdei. Loy avdei, the first two letters of those two words, loy avdei is gematria 100. Lamed is 30, ayin is 70. So loy avdei is gematria, the first two words, 100. Eved elekim la asher is gematria, ayin aleph lamed, 101. So you see merumas in the pasuk, says the Marsha, the contrast of 100 and 101. You see that? The first letters of eved elekim la asher, ayin aleph lamed, is 71 and 30, that's 101. As opposed to asher loy avdei. Loy avdei is lamed aleph, lamed ayin, which is 30 and 70, which is 100. Now, the Kliyaka says something fabulous. The Kliyaka was the Rav in Prague. He took over from the Maharal in the 16th century, around the 1600s. And he wrote this famous Pirush on Chumash, and he says a fabulous gematria. Remez yokar, there's a lovely allusion here. For who? K'shetistakel b'milas zohar, of Milas Shochach. The word to remember is Zayin Chofresh, Lizkar, Zochar, he remembered. Of Milas Shochach is to forget. The gematria of the word Zochar, Zayin Chofresh, is 227. The gematria of the word Shochach is 328, Shin Chofches. Timtze, Mispar Me'er Ve'echod Benem. The difference between Zochar, to remember, and Shochach, to forget, is 101. And therefore, v'haretz elevatel hashikchar, someone who wants to try and make sure he doesn't forget things, yachzer al limudai me'er ve'echot patmim, he should review things 101 times, And that will reduce the number of shokach, if he forgot, mispa mea ve'echod, 101, v'yisha min shokach mila zochah. And if you take away 101 from the mila of shokach, you actually get the word zochah, you get 227, you remember. Okay, and that's make sure that what a person will retain that information, and he won't forget it. So a beautiful gematria. Now, he just then adds on something quite esoteric. He says, V'korav l'shmoya, shehamalach hamamun al zikaron, the malach, who is in charge of memory, Zochar Shemoy. His name is Zochar, Zayin Chof Resh. The Yesh Leref Resh Chof Zayin Koiches. He has 227 Koiches, strengths. V'hamalach hamun al shikcha, Shochach Shemoy. The malach that is in charge of shikcha is called Shochach. The Yesh Leshin Chof Ches Koiches. And he has 328 capacities, abilities. The malach in charge of shikra has 121 strengths, more than the malach who is in charge of zikaron. Therefore, shikra is going to overcome. Is going to win. A person has got to review something 101 times. Ki b'chol pam v'pam, every time he reviews something, sheyachzuhu mechaso machlish kach echod mikaychesov, he will reduce, he will emasculate the power of the malach called shikcha. Uchshechoz me'ev echod pamim, and then he does it 101 times. Hichlish kol kaychesov, he's just eradicated him. And therefore, Hayezerim v'nichnas tachas yad hamalach hamuna al zikaron leish kachoid, and you won't forget things. So you see a fascinating theme that emerges from this week's Haftarah. The Pasuk says, v'shavtem arisim ben tzadik l'rosh ben evdele kimashe le'ovdei, says the Gemara in Chagiga, what's the redundancy? The Teretz is, evdele kim and asher le'ovdei are both tzadikim gemurim. It's just that one learns something 100 times, why 101 times? It seems a bit close. Halavai, we could learn something 100 times. Teretz is, says the Marsha, there's an allusion to this in the Pasuk, Rosh HaTevis of Eved Elokim, La Asher is 101, Lo Yovde, the first letters of those two words, 100. The Kliyoka says that the difference between the two is 101. Shochach 328, Zochar is 227, and therefore 101 difference. If a person learns something 101 times, he can bridge the gap between forgetting and Zochar. Or as he says in the end, the Malach in charge of Shikcha has got 101 extra strengths, and you can sort of reduce them, minimize them, by doing more chazar in that way. So this is good chizuk for yeshiva bachrim, they're back ben azmanim, they can chazar a good zman's learning. Okay, let's move on now to seder ideas. Now, I came across a sefer this year, which I was very excited to get hold of, Rav Eli Baruch Finkel. Rav Eli Baruch Finkel, I had the zchus to be in his shir for a short period in the Mir, and we're coming up to his 15th yahrzeit. And he was one of the Rosh Hashivas of the Mir, and his sefarim are now proving very, very, very successful. In fact, I heard a fascinating observation. He, Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel, in the Mir family, is very miyuchas. Apart from being a tremendous tamtar, at the time he gave the second biggest shir in the Mir. And he was a young man when he passed away. I think he was just 60, I think, or just before he was 60. And he was the son of Rabbi Moshe Finkel, who was the son of Rabbi Lezer Yehuda Finkel. Now, the Rabbi Lezer Yehuda Finkel was the legendary Rosh Hashiva back in the Mir, and he was the one who relocated back to Eretz Yisrael. And he was a Ben Achaben. So when Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, the famous Reb Nosson Zvi, when he became the Rosh Hashiva, really, Reb Eli Baruch had a very strong claim to be the Rosh Hashiva. He was the son of the son, he was a grandson. Reb Nosson Zvi married the daughter, the eldest daughter, Reb Benish Finkel. So, he was the Rosh Hashiva, as it were, he married into the family, although he was related, as his surname suggests. So, Rabbi Baruch went to Rav Shach and said, look, I'm happy for Rosh Hashiva to be Rosh Hashiva, but, if it's my destiny to be the Rosh Hashiva, maybe I should be the Rosh Hashiva. So apparently Rav Shach told him that he should let Rav Nosson Zvi be the Rosh Hashiva, and Rav Shach said, you'll see that your Sepharim, they're going to be produced, will be tremendously successful. And it's an interesting thing that I wasn't aware that he had something, and now they're emerging, and some fabulous Sfarim. And there's one now, just came out this year on the Haggadah, which I managed to get hold of, and he says loads of interesting things. I've picked out a few things from it that we can explore this evening. So the first thing is, let's start from the beginning, the Simone HaSeder. The Simone HaSeder is something which he mentions, actually, I didn't realize this, But the simonim, Kadesh, Uchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, who wrote them? Where does it come from? So he brings, the Machzor of Vitri says it was composed by Rashi. Interesting, I didn't know that. The simonim of Rashi. So many people sing it, Kadesh, Uchatz, whatever niggun they choose. There are 15 simonim. We've, in previous years, in Hagodashir, we've spoken about the concept of 15, the journey of 15. 15 always represents the journey of Kedusha. 15 is always symbolizing a journey of spiritual elevation. But there's one question, which is like an obvious question, really, which I never thought of. There is one major omission in the 15 simonim. You've got everything that's going on in the evening, apart from one quite central aspect of Seder night. What's missing? Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas Yachatz, Magid Rochzon Meitzi Matzah, Mor Karech Shulchnarech, Tzofen Bore Chalel Nirtzah. What's missing are the Dalet Kaisis. There's no specific mention of the Dalet Kaisis. Take a look at the bottom box. Yesh La'ayin, Madua B'simone HaSeyde Lehuzka Gam Simen Al Mitzvah Dalet Kaisis. Where's Dalet Kaisis gone? V'nir Levi, and we can explain Fi Divrei Hagon Reb Chaim Ibrisk. He quotes Reb Chaim, which is brought in the Griz on Hilchas Chometz and Matzah. I've got the Maramakim. Shechiach Midivrei HaTaisus. There's a Taisus in Pesachim Tzadi Tesom Abeis. Sheikah HaMitzvah B'Dalet Kaisus. He Etzem HaBrocha Aleihem. The Ikah Mitzvah in Dalet Kaisus is the Brocha that you make on them. V'im Kein Muyushuv. So we can now understand. The first case is therefore included in the first of the 15 simonim kaddish. The second case is included in magid. So therefore they are mentioned at the appropriate time because the ikka mitzvah of the dalet kaisis is the bracha of berpei hagafen that you make on each one. So therefore they're included in kaddish, in Magid, in Borech, and in Halel. Now, then he adds, Va'ayin b'riz ha'levi, that's the briskerov, in the place, Shekein hudas Rashi v'Rashbam. Now, this is the opinion of Rashi and the Rashbam. Now, what are Rashi and the Rashbam? There, on the Gemara in Pesachim Tzadites, and I've quoted the Rashbam here, he says, the Gemara is talking about drinking something b'basachas. What does that mean? The Gemara says, if you drink your dalet kosis b'basachas, lo yotza. How would you interpret, what does the Gemara mean? That if you drink Dalet Kaisis Babas Achas. So Rashi understands it to mean that you take four cups into one very big cup and you just pour, like, you know, instead of pouring into one cup and then a second cup, a third cup, a fourth cup, you pour four lots into one cup. So you've got one very large cup. That's Kachar Pirish Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's how Rashi explains. V'loi Nehira says the Rashbam, that's not Pshat, I don't agree. You can have a small cup, a big cup, a very big cup. That's all one case. It doesn't make a difference how much you get in there. It's a good eitzah, just by the way, that, you know, one should actually not, don't go too big on Seder night. Sometimes you have a large becher, and that's a problem. You know, you've got to make sure you have enough for shir. The shir, whether it's 150cc according to the Chaznish, 86, gemach of kais hogan according to the Chaznish, yeah, you've got the gemach, 150cc or 86cc, but it's not so much 86cc. And even if you go according to the Chaznish, which is bigger, if you have a very large case, it can be a significantly more, certainly than the smaller shir. And better to go small and to finish a case or have rove case than just have a very big case and just sip. That doesn't. So either way, says the Rashbam, I don't agree with the Rashi because you can pour lots of glasses into one big case. That's still one case. Venerally, Dohachi Perusha, I'll tell you what pshat is in the Gemara there. Babas achas sheloy al seide mishnosenu ele shoson rutzufin. You just drink them in four different goes. So for example, you have four cups, you pour one, two, three, four, and then you make a berpei hagafen, you drink one, then you drink two, then you drink a third one, and then you drink a fourth one, four separate kosas, says the Gemara, shosam b'basachas lo yotza. That's no good. Because each one is a separate mitzvah, but it's inherent in the right place of the Seder. And therefore, you've got to do it at Kaddish, you've got to do it at Magid, you've got to do it at Baruch, and you've got to do it at Halel. And doing it out of... So you see, that's a proof to what he's saying, that it's included in these four points in the simonim of the Seder. In fact, I once heard a crazy story some years ago. There was a man who, after the Seder, he noticed his kais was pogum. There was a hole in it, or the dent or something, and it could be that it was the actual Dalet kais was not fulfilled. And he went to his Rav, and the Rav told him he had not fulfilled the mitzvah of Dalet Kaisis. So what's he got to do? He's got to do it again. Now, how do you do it again? You don't shosim the basachas according to the Rashi. To drink 1, 2, 3, 4 doesn't help. You have to do the whole seder again because you've got to do it ala seder. Now, I'm not passing the halacha, but this is what I heard happened in town some years ago. This is what he was told, but it's very mistama according to what we were just saying, because you can't be mekayim and dalat kosis outside of the framework of seders, within the frame, and that's why they're in the simonim. It's very good, because Rashi is the author of the 15 simonim, and therefore this all sort of fits in. Next paragraph. This also answers another question. Kadesh uberich. Why are we in any event putting Kadesh and Borech in the Simonim? We do that all year round. A regular Yontov Shabbos meal, we make Kiddush and we say Birchas Hamazon. So why do they get a special mention in the Simone HaSeder? How are they different from all year round? Last paragraph, Achein. Lefi ha-mavu ha-meyushav, it fits in very well. Ki ha-mechavim b'simone kadesh u-boreich, hu inyan mitzvah dalet kaisa shi'esh bohem. I.e., we're not referring to the stam kiddush and the stam birchas hamazon, we're referring to the dalet kaisa aspect of these kadesh and birchas hamazon. Oid mitzvah milvad etzem ha-kiddush, aside from the etzem kiddush and birchas hamazon, vuhu chiyuv ha-kais midin dalet kaisa. There's a din of dalet kaisa. Even if you hold Birchas Hamazon doesn't need a kais, not everyone benches with a kais and says Bar Brag often at the end of benching. So you see there's a special halacha of dalat kaisis in Birchas Hamazon. Exactly what the Rishami says. The Yerushalmi says that Chazal and Misakein Dalet Kaisus, and each one a mitzvah was performed with them. What one? Kadesh, Magid, Barech, Halel. V'chein b'kiddush, yesh kiddush b'lel seder. The kiddush is also different. Ki ba'oid she'b'chol ha'shon ha'rashay le'kaddush m'b'od yoyim, mishum midin tosev ha'shabbos v'yontif, all year round, you can make Shabbos and Yontif early, especially in the height of summer. No one waits till Nacht here in England, for sure. Obviously, very few people do. But we all bring in Shabbos 7 o'clock or whatever time we bring it in. But then I say that zorich lekadosh b'layla mamish. But come say the night, you got to wait till nacht. V'zoyis mach maschiv dalat kaisus. Why? Because it's not just stam kiddush. This is dalat kaisus. V'alkein hoyenochim nikbeir gamis kaddish ubarich b'seid simonim shalei seder. Therefore, it's wholly appropriate to include kaddish and borich within the 15 simonim. Because although we do it all year round, this is unique and special because it's not stam kaddish, it's not stam borich. This is a kaddish of dalat kaisis, a borich of dalat kaisis. So a very interesting question and some very nice ideas of the simoni ha-seder. Now, let's go to one piece. We started the beginning of seder, the simonim, and then there's so much in the sefer, but I flicked right to the end. And I went to Chad Gadyo. Chad Gadyo is the bit which sometimes, by the time we get there, it doesn't always, there's so much going on. By the time we get there, people are tired. And, we sort of descend into animal noises, gestures, and who knows what. But there's, of course, a lot of depth and lessons from Chad Gadyo. So I thought, let's talk about this a little bit. Now, I've just taken the last line of Chad Gadyo just to remind ourselves of the story. Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the final line of really Seder night. V'shochat l'malach ha-moves, and he shechts the malach ha-moves. The shochet the sheichet, who shechted the sheichet, the shochet the Torah, who killed the ox, the shos and the maya, who drank the water, the chob and the nura, that extinguished the fire, the sarf the chutra, that burnt the stick, the hik and the kalba, that hit the dog, the noshach the shunra, that bit the cat, the och the gadja, that ate the goat, the zabin abba betray zuzi, that the father bought for 2 zuz, chad gadya, chad gadya. Right, familiar words. Now, I've put a little diagram there, just to make it a bit easier what we're going to do. So, the Malach HaMoves killed the Sheichet, who shechted the ox, who drank the water, which extinguished the fire, which burned the stick, which hit the dog, who bit the cat, who ate the goat. Good. Says Rebbe Baruch Finkel, Makshim Ha'olam, famous question. Haloim HaChatul Nohak Shelo Kishura. If the cat was a naughty cat, and he ate the goat, the gedi, Shaloi kashura, not appropriate. Kasheoch v'sagdi. Imkei nimse sha'akelev shenoch shasachatul, osa kadin. So therefore, the cat gets its deserved punishment, and the dog ate it. The dog, therefore, you put a tick by the dog. He did okay. So therefore, the stick that hit the dog is shaloikadin, because the dog was a good boy. So therefore, the fire that burnt the stick gets a tick. He did a good job. The water that extinguished the fire, in turn, gets a cross. And similarly, therefore, the water which put out the fire is good. And therefore, the shochet that playing it back, the Malach HaMoves who killed the shechet did fine, which of course leads to the question: so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the Malach HaMoves? He didn't do anything wrong. That is the famous question that everyone asks on Chag Gadol. Vatiritz Pazeh Bal Ben Ishchai, the Ben Ishchai, next paragraph, answers, Ki Omnom, HaChatul Leinoa Kedin She'ochle HaSagdi. You're right. The cat was naughty, shouldn't have done what he did when he ate the Gdi. Bram, however, B'chol Zeis Lekelev Lo Yatsot Kelizarev B'riv Lo Yloi. The dog had no right to get involved in an argument that did not involve him. So therefore, our point was mistaken. We wanted to say that the cat behaved, but the cat was wrong, and the dog was good because it hit the. But the dog shouldn't have got involved. No one appointed the dog as the savior for this gdi. Vim kain this hapech kol haseder. If that's the case, you can now reverse the seder. Ki nimsa shahamakel sodak shehikshesakelev. The kelev had no right to get involved, and therefore the stick which hit the dog, who was naughty, should not get involved, was good. And therefore, the eish had no reason to burn the stick. And therefore, you put a tick by the water. Was not correct. And therefore, the sheichet was tzedek. And therefore, the Malach HaMoves was wrong. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him properly. So that's how the Olim answer the question. You just switch the dog, and therefore you reverse the order, you replay it back, and the Malach HaMoves was a naughty boy, shouldn't have done what he did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was justified. Asks Rebbeinu Baruch and other esteemed company. One more paragraph before that. The Nimshel, yeah, this is a Moshel. Chag Gadya is a Moshel. V'hanimshel l'chol zeh, hu b'inyin yitzias Mitzrayim. This is fascinating. The nimsha, the lesson, the take home for this is Yitzias Mitzrayim. How so? Shari gamal ha-mitzriim hikshu ha-rishonim. The rishonim ask a kasha on the mitzriim. Ke'en kushazu, similar to this kasha. Madua henishim HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ese makas. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the mitzriim with 10 makas? V'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu koras b'ris ben ha-psorim. Ki gei yezarech ha-beres de'lohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise, a decree, that Klal Yisrael, the children of Avraham Avinu, are going to go into Mitzrayim, or Be'eretz Le'elohem, and therefore, what do you want from the Egyptians? That was what was meant, that was the destiny of the Jewish people. Why blame them? Ela Mavua Kanal, Ki Omnam, you're right, Ki Goz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ala Shibut, you're right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decree again that there's going to be a Shibut. Achadayin Le'nikba, Mi hu ha'am asher yishabed Yisrael. There was no, it didn't say it's got to be Mitzrayim, it didn't say it's got to be this country or that country. The Mitzrayim was self-appointed. They said, okay, we'll punish the Jewish people. Therefore we respond to them, we say to the Mitzrayim, the Moshel of Chag Gadya, Shashibud ochein nigzal Yisrael. You're right. The shibud, the persecution, was decreed against the Jewish people. Who gave you? Who chose you to be the vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be meshabed Klal Yisrael? And therefore they were punished with esemakas. Fine, that's the nimshal according to that. Ulam yesh lahayir ateretzeh. But says Rabbi Eli Baruch, I've got a problem with this answer. Your problem. Madua hamakel sheikah kelev bekelev tzedek. Who says that the stick that hit the dog was correct? You just told me that the dog was wrong. He shouldn't have got involved. Good. But that, who gives the stick? That doesn't make the next one right. So that, why does that make the makel correct? In the same way that the kelev shouldn't have got involved, the stick shouldn't have also got involved. The makel, the stick, was getting involved in an argument that was not his. So therefore the makel is also no good. So the whole logic goes out the window. You with me? If it's a moshel, we'll see. V'shem yeshleima. Now listen to what he says. V'shem yeshleima. Maybe you want to say ki be'emes kol echod mehem osa aval kashtarav b'riv lele. Yeah. Okay. Each of the subsequent ones did something wrong that they shouldn't have got involved. The dog shouldn't have got involved. The makos. No one should get. Just keep away. V'gam malach hamoves also evil, and maybe even the malach hamoves did something wrong, because again, don't get involved. V'lochein shocht HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechted him. Ulam adayin tzarech, but even if you want to say that, no one should get involved, etc., even the malach hamoves. But madua malach hamoves also b'zeh evil. Why, how can you say the malach hamoves is doing something wrong? Halo zeh tafkido shel malach hamoves, shemun alachayim. That's his job. I can understand, you know, you're upset with the stick, don't get involved. You're upset with the ox, the water, the esh, don't get involved. But don't criticize the Malach HaMoves for killing someone who shouldn't have got involved. The Sheikh was wrong. That's his job, the Malach HaMoves. So we're a bit stuck. Says Rabbi Elibaruch, V'nir levai bo'ifanachia. I want to therefore take a different approach. Ki hine. Be'ika kushel now, in the main point before, the main question, Heich hinesh es mitzriim be'esim makas. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the Mitzrayim with 10 plagues? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goza sheyirul Yisrael. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gezeira that they have got to be the ones to bring evil, to bring hardship on Klal Yisrael. Tiritz b'zeh HaRamban. The Ramban in Chumash and Bereishis Tesvav gives an answer. Shehag gezeira hoyisashu avodim Mitzrayim v'yanusam. You're right. There was a gezeira that the Mitzrayim were going to be the ones who were going to persecute Klal Yisrael. Ach, haMitzrayim hoysifu lahora. But the Egyptians went beyond what the decree was. They threw the children into the earth. And they embittered their lives with difficult work. More than what was decreed against them. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. And by the way, don't think this is sort of academic, intellectual exercise, you know, the Chasrom is Torah, but don't think this is just sort of theoretical. In the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis would use these defenses. One of the defenses they used were, I think it was in the Nuremberg trials or the Eichmann trial, I forget which, but his defense attorney said that the Jews are a cursed nation, and therefore they're just fulfilling the will of the divine. Now, of course that's nonsense, but even if they're right, the will of the decree, let's say they're to be persecuted, but you went to the extent of the cruelty you went to. The Ramban uses example of Mitzrayim, Sheshlichu es b'neihem b'yor, Omiris chayehem, and you just explore Holocaust material for a few minutes, and you see the extent of the cruelty, then obviously they went way beyond whatever was allegedly decreed. You know, today, Dafka today, there was a Yad Vashem seminar in Israel a few weeks ago. So a few of our teachers went after Eretz Yisrael, and they spent a week and a half term on this Yad Vashem educational seminar. And I've been trying to catch up with one of the teachers who went and just ask him how it was. So we sort of debriefed today. And I said, and how did the other teachers find it? And there was one non-Jewish teacher who went along. And he told me, he's a Rebbe and he's well-versed in the Holocaust and he knew it quite well and he found it fascinating and he found it a very informative and a very good seminar. But he said that this non-Jewish teacher had not been exposed to any detail of the Holocaust. She'd heard of it and, you know, bits and bobs. But she found it overwhelming. When you begin, we grew up with it. We know about it. We know survivors. We've learned about it. We've been, you know, Tisha B'Av, we hear thousands of things. And many of us have been to Poland, some of us many times. But if you're not familiar with it and suddenly you're exposed to it, it's overwhelmingly bitter and painful. And sometimes we're just too close to even to see it. So therefore, they did way beyond what the gezeira was. And therefore, Al-Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nifra Mehem, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fully entitled to punish them. Va'id Kosev Shem Ramban. The Ramban says further, Shehamitzrim Nen Shemach Mashalo Kivnu B'maseim. There's another point. They didn't do it to fulfill the divine will, K'dei L'kayim Bo'im Esach Gazera, to fulfill the Gazera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El'kav Nosem Hoise, K'dei L'horin Yisrael. They did it because they hated Jews. It was pure anti-Semitism. And so too with Germany as well. Next paragraph. And with that Ramban, says Rabbi Baruch, Yesh li yashiv kushes ha'ilim b'chad gadyo. Now we can answer the kashur of chad gadyo. Ki omno, ha'chatul nohak shaloi kashuro. Be'emes, the chatul, the cat, behaved wrong, inappropriately. He should not have eaten the gadi. Ulom, ha'kelev shenoshech es ha'chatul. But when the dog ate the cat, loy kivin la'atzles ha'gadi, he wasn't coming to save the gadi. Elahunen elinshech es ha'chatul. Dogs are dogs, and dogs like biting cats, which is what you said. And that's exactly the point with Mitzrayim. They didn't do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzeira in the Brisbane Absarim. They did it because they hated Klal Yisrael. And therefore the dog was punished because of the makel. But the rest of the Seder now stands. And the makel did do correctly. Because if the kelev was wrong because he shouldn't have got involved and he did more than he did, all the reasons the Ramban says, then the makel was right to punish the dog. The dog was deserving of punishment. And therefore you trace back from the makel and you get back to the Malach HaMoves, who did shelo kedin. V'lochein HaKadosh Baruch Hu shel kelev munu ve'ein ovel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose system is perfectly just, Hanishon, Kadin, punish the Malach HaMoves appropriately. Good. Now, the last few paragraphs. Uve inyan ze, mesupa al Rabbeinu Yonasan Eibeshitz, zuchus yogadenu. That he said that there was a famous period in Jewish history where there was a big machlekes, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, in the 1800s. Asher betukufoso shor machlekes atzume b'chal Yisrael. There was a tremendous machlekes in Klal Yisrael. In the eye of the storm, in the depth of that machlekas, whilst it was happening, pogash ba'anoshim pechusei erech shedibro lof sorach lehikiruhu. They spoke very badly against Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, but they didn't know it was him. So he was traveling one time. Now, we're living in a world now, can you imagine Chaim Kanievsky would go to a place? Everyone recognizes him, because we're living in a world where they're all very recognizable. But go back 200 years, much less so. So they heard about the Machlekes, they heard the name of Yonasan Eibeshitz, they didn't recognize, they didn't know who he was. So he was once in a different town or something, where, and they spoke badly against Yonasan Eibeshitz, not knowing that this was him. Pono Alehem, Rabbi Yonasan, v'omer lohem biyozeh, b'piyut chadgadja. So Rabbi Yonasan turned to them and explained this explanation we said above to these gentlemen. It seems to be that there was a misjustice. What do you want from the kelev? The kelev was protecting the cat. The kelev was protecting the gadi from the chatul. So what do you want from the kelev? And therefore, in the above, he said, that's what he answered. Our question above. Ela Omer Bienison, penultimate paragraph, Hatshuva Ledovahi, the response is, She'im yesh lechatul merivim agdi, if the chatul has an argument with the gadi, Malo lekelev lisarev v'zeh, why has the kelev got to get involved? Afkan, kasha kayomim chiluk edes ben gadol Yisrael, so too, when there's a machlekes between gadol Yisrael, Mala anoshim min ashura lisarev v'zeh, ordinary people do not get involved in this. Because if an ordinary person gets involved in a machlekas, which he doesn't understand, it's beyond him, and it's not his machlekas, he is no better than the kelev in chad gadja, getting involved in an argument which is none of his business. Last paragraph, and therefore it appears. Yesh lohisif al divrei Rabbeinu Yonasan. She'ochein tzrichin zehirus rabba livreyach mikol machlekas. It's important that we run away from any machlekas. When you hear people getting involved in a machlekes, maybe they're saying it's kavod haTorah, and therefore we've got to defend kavod haTorah, whatever it may be. And they're arguing vehemently with people they don't really agree with. It's important for us to realize that it's not appropriate to be worried about kavod haTorah in that situation, and to trample on another sefer Torah. Because you're protecting one gadol, you're going to trample another gadol, you back off. And I'll call bardas laharchikas atz machlekas, just run away from machlekas. As if you're mamish running away from fire. So, whilst we've heard bits and bob about Chadgadja over the years, and again, it's very nice to see it all written down, and the parallels to the Ramban in asking important questions, why punish the Mitzrayim? These are very important points to think about from a Hashkafa point of view. But either way, a very, very nice piece of Rav Eli Baruch. So just to summarize, what have we said? For Shabbos HaGadol, the Haftarah of Shavtim Risa Mitzadik, the Rosh Ben Evdel Kim Lashaloy Avdei, the Gemara Chagiga says, they're both Tzadikim Gemurim. One is both Tzadikim, it's just that one reviews something 100 times, 101 times. And the difference, why Dafka 100, 101? The 101 is significant, because that is really how you bridge the gap between Zohar and Shochach, alluded to in Gematrias, in various forms, being Machalesh, weakening the Keiches of the Malach of Shochach, etc., etc. Then you have the Simone HaSeder, the question that, we've been through many Siddurim, and where are the Dalet Keiches, where do they appear? Teretz is, says Rabbi Baruch, that, as Rav Chaim says, that the Dalet Keiches, the Etzem Mitzvah, is the Bracha, and therefore they're included in these four stages, Kaddish, Magid, Borich, and Halel. And again, the question is, but Kaddish and Borich, any event you're going to do, you do that all year round. What are they doing in the 15 Simoni HaSeder anyway? Teretz is, they're included because of the special feature of Kaddish and Borich. There's a uniqueness about them. It's not an ordinary Kaddish. Each one's got a uniqueness. Kaddish has got to be Belayla, can't be Mibayidyoim. Borich has got to be, it's got to be in, what was his answer? That even if you hold Birchas HaMazon in the Tuna case, or say that you do need the case, there are differences. But they're featuring in the various points because that's exactly what they're doing. And then the last idea we've discussed, Chadgadja, the whole sequence and the event, why is it, according to this, that if the dog, he did nothing wrong, he sort of meted out justice, he should be rewarded. So therefore the order doesn't seem to work. So he's corrected the order as per above. I wish you all a chakosh and a sameach and a lovely yom tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.